Dr. Agnesco, who will talk about categories of the brain.
Yeah, thank you. So what I'm going to do today is just to make a couple of remarks on categories of the brains. This mainly follows work of Douglas, pioneered the subject, and then some nice work of Lazzaroio on the relation between categories and deep brains and string field theory, and also work of Aspinwall, Lawrence, and some details can be found in a note I wrote a couple of months ago. But mainly, these are the two references, and also the work of Paul and Alvian. So, on the other hand, for people who were here last week, I should say that this is closely related to lectures of Sen and Aspinwall. And the remarks are not so. So we'll see basically how we can, if you want, how we can bring together elements of the ideas of string field theory described by Sen and considerations of presented by Aspinwall to construct categories of deep brains. And I think one of the main points is that somehow at the end of the day we'll see that this derived category, arises in some way from string field theory, but in a rather particular form. And it's not even clear that we're getting precisely the derived category. So let me begin by reminding you some elements of string field theory as described by Sen, just to make the presentation self-contained. So, just to fix ideas. So first of all, an open string field theory will be described schematically by some algebra structure. So we have a string Hilbert space with an algebra structure, a derivation, and some trace map. And let me describe these objects briefly. That H is a Z-graded string Hilbert space in which N is the Gauss number. Now, star is some product which I'm going to assume it's associative. So it's associative product. It's very intuitively just corresponding to two strings, two open strings joining together to create a third string. And Q is a degree one map H to H, which is a derivation with respect to the product star, namely ours. So, by this, I denote the degree of a given element. And finally, this map here that I'm going to denote by the integral sign is a trace map with some map defined on H with values in C of degree minus 3. That means that we get a non-zero answer only if the degree of A is 3. Well, that's these are just Witten's axioms. So, for string field theory. For Clausius is 3. I'm sorry. Yes, I know what you mean, but I don't know the answer in that case. I'm sorry. Yeah, it is linear, yeah. Okay. Okay. And then we construct the string filter action. Which is a John Simons type of action. Did I say that? I didn't. Yeah, Q squared has to be zero. So it's an nilpotent operator. Okay, so this action would be in this case. The form schematically written like that. Well, so that's just to connect with sense picture of string filtery. Now, it should be said that since I have an open string filtery, the context in which this occurs the structure occurs is that I have, for example, open strings propagating on some manifold, call it X. And since I have maps from, roughly speaking, from the interval to X, I should specify boundary conditions at the end of the string. And so we need to specify boundary conditions for the endpoints of the string. And in physics, this is done by specifying, this is equivalent to specifying some sort of a deep brain. So in particular, we could think of strings ending on a submanifold of X, or in this particular case, I'm actually going to think of pre-boundary conditions that allow strings to propagate freely on X. So this is like have a deep brain wrapped. Now, okay, so that's the picture. So in principle, it's hard. So in this situation, I'm going to have identical boundary conditions for both endpoints of the string, and so the idea is to see what happens in theory. In theory, is that they have multiple deep brains. So, so what happens if we allow multiple deep brains? By this I mean that we have several sets. Well, there is a I'm going to just a finite a finite film collection of boundary conditions labeled by some index A, and in this particular case we're going to have some possible boundary conditions labeled by this index. So we have open string stretching from open strings whose boundary conditions are specified. Well, they may be different at the endpoints. We also have open strings whose boundary conditions are specified by the same by the same deep brain. And in this particular case, the natural generalization of this picture proposed by Lazaroyo is that one should really think of the proper algebraic structure to describe this situation should be a category. And so in principle, it's because we have if we have an open string with boundary conditions A and B, it can be glued to an open string that with boundary conditions A and C to create an open string with boundary conditions A and C. And since we assume that the star product is associative, this structure is really really is suggestive of a category structure here, in which the objects, so open string filtered with multiple div rings. So as I said, that this was proposed by Lazzaroio. So we have, we should really think of the so-called div ring category, in which the objects are the div rings themselves. And then the homomorphisms, or the morphisms of the category, are just it would be again the open string Hilbert space for boundary conditions A and B in this particular case. So now this is not just on general grounds, because we want to generalize that structure over there. This is not just any category. It has to carry some structure. And the structure it has to carry is that, first of all, the homomorphisms will be Z-graded. So this will be Z-graded. And we also want to have a BRS operator, Q, acting on this Z-graded Hilbert space. And that would be, would have some differential on the Z-graded space. And that means that the div ring category has to be a DG category. It's not not just any category that you can think. Differential graded category. Yeah. So just this is just a very general statement. Whenever you have an associative open string filter, the natural generalization of these axioms to situations with multiple brains implies an underlying category structure. Yeah, so. Okay, so now what do we want to do? What we want to do is, so now to come back to sense picture, I want to remind you that in sense picture, even if we started with a D25 brain in that case, one can recover smaller or lower dimensional brains just by, they're just classical solutions to the equations of motions of that action. So in this picture, we can get, if you want new D brains, as solutions to equations of motion. So roughly speaking, what I'm going to try to do today is to repeat this story, but in a system, situation where I have a multiple div rings or a certain finite number of div rings, and try to get, roughly speaking, all the possible new div ring states out of a given set of such objects. And so how what's the strategy for doing that? Well, one can construct, if you want, the space of all string states just by summing over all homomorphisms. Since I look just at finitely many div rings, that's okay. And then repeat the same steps. I mean, this will have some algebraic structure, construct an action, and try to search for all possible solutions. So roughly speaking, it means that, as Lazzaroio pointed out, is that in string filtering, whenever I have such a system of a number of div rings, one would be sort of forced to consider many more div rings, which appear as solutions to such equations of motion. And the idea, roughly speaking, is that if we look at a topological string theory, we want to recover the derived category that way. So that would be what I'm trying to do today, to recover the derived category in such a from such a system.
Just this sum.
Yes.
Is there no room for double quantities?
double content.
So if you have stuck with some open string over here, that includes the root and root.
I'm sorry?
Other people.
Right. I can construct, yeah.
But you also some of the.
No, but these are, you see, if I start with dbrains, I have a file in many dbrains, then I, these are just, you know, the oscillations of open strings that, but then I have to condense, I have to look at condensation of open strings, and I'm going to get new objects in this category, so I'm going to enlarge this category, I'm going to add objects, yeah.
So, roughly speaking, are you saying that the Jorgensen theorem of the dbrain, that the Dirac category is the tree level approximation?
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to, I will call that a theorem. I'm going to try to argue, yeah, that but as you'll see, that the answer is not going to be the Dirac category as we know, I mean, the definition we know. But I'm going to get to some category that I don't quite understand very well. It contains the Dirac category as a full subcategory. It seems to have many more objects, as I'm going to describe in a minute.
Why are we interested in the tree-level approximation?
Well, because that's the zero-sort approximation. I mean, of course, we could start adding loop corrections. I mean, doing quantum mechanics and adding loop corrections, but that's as far as I know, hasn't been done.
And how much would that be expected to change the picture?
Yeah. Yeah, just B-type brains, yeah.
Very, very far from.
No, but even in this case, you can ask why stop here? I mean, even for B-type brains, why stop at this level? These are just classical solutions. That's not the only structure I'm going to describe today. You're right. I mean, one should in principle. I mean, we can actually, yeah. So I'm going to give an explicit form of this action for any number of B-type brains. Then I can tell you it's a sort of a super chain Simon. So it's a chain Simon theory for a Z-gradient superconnection. And well, from there we can quantize that action, sure. But that hasn't been done. I mean, it's actually it might be interesting to see what happens if. Well, I guess I just want to make my life easier.
What's bothering me is that, I mean, when you say a finite collection of boundary conditions, I can imagine giving a D-brain a small k, so each D-brain there is actually...
No, that's maybe that was misleading. I mean, I want to say that when I construct these composites or I condense open string fields that way, I want to look only at finitely many D-brains at a time. Well, perhaps this is going to be clear when I do the example. And then,
Static.
Okay. Fine. Yeah, in a physical theory, I would say.
I mean, that's an approximation.
Is this sum finite?
That sum over there is finite. It will be finite in all examples I'm going to discuss today. Look. Let me just. I'm sorry. This is not by any means. I won't have a claim that these are all the D-brains. This is just, you know, I'm going to show you that if you start with some set of boundary conditions we know, we can get many more by a systematic procedure. But I don't know if this exhausts all the D-brains. I should move to the example, I guess. I mean, the discussion so far is too abstract to. So the example that I want to discuss today is Witten's topological V model, which was also discussed by Paul, but I want to take a different perspective on the subject. So X, the target space, is a Calabi-Yau threefold, and we are looking at maps from Riemann surface to X. What are the fields? So I'm going to have the Fermi fields will be sections of upper star of the holomorphic. The anti-holomorphic tangent bundle of X, and then I'm going to have a section, a one form on sigma tensored with a pullback of the holomorphic bundle of X. And of course, there is the action for the B model, which also Paul wrote it. Let me write it again just to make sure I for Fermi term. So this action has a nilpotent symmetry, a BRS symmetry. Given by So this is the model we want to study today. And it's topological in the sense that the dependence on the metric, on the world sheet metric is the dependence of the metric is Q exact. So in that case, we can just study this model by by rescaling the metric to a very large volume and taking a semi-classical limit of the theory and still get exact results. So in this case, the first constraint, the first idea is just to to add deep brains to this picture. So what are this is a So, yes. No, I mean, for the B model, as far as I know, there is an anomaly cancellation condition that requires the target space to be collabial.
Why is it threefold rather
than threefold? Oh, it's the threefold. Yeah, well, essentially.
If M4 is going to have the
X4. Yeah. Right, but then you're going to have. Question is, are you going to have a cubic action?
One,
the axioms, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Since you're invoking a tree level, you don't really need the action.
Right. I needed the field equations, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Fine. So now Witten pointed out that we can couple this model with two open strings using boundary conditions. So which are Neumann boundary conditions on the field, on the scale of fields, and also on the fermion field theta and star rho to vanish. This is the Hajok star operator. And we also can, so these are the boundary conditions, and can couple this model to gauge fields, so to gauge fields on X, namely fix a bundle and a vector bundle on X, and we can couple it to gauge fields, provided that and we want a connection A, the connection on E. So we can couple it and preserve the fermionic symmetry over there, provided that so in order to preserve the fermionic symmetry, we need the F02 part to vanish. So then it means that D bar A, that defines a holomorphic structure in E. Okay. So that's the story here. So now, what is the string field theory? I think that's the first. So according to Witten, so if we want to find the string field theory of this model, it's described by Witten. So what is it? So first of all, we need the space H. So I have to remind you that we are working, so we have so the open string functionals are, according to general principles, the open string functionals will be some functionals psi of the fields, the open string fields. However, Witten showed that when if we take we can take so Witten analyzed the fluctuations of the string in the limit in which t goes to infinity, which is allowed in topological field theory. So namely by scaling the volume to be very large. And in that case, the elements of the string field theory turn out to be so in that case we have a localization of psi on constant maps. In other words, we can truncate to the zero mode part of the open string, so then we get psi. So this psi will be just a function of constant maps, meaning that all the points on the string are mapped to a single point in space-time. So it will just depend on the coordinates phi I have that of that point. And turns out it depends on the zero modes of the fermions, eta I. And the expansion of this field is an expansion like. Okay, so as you can see, as it's known, I mean, it's, you can see that so the components of the string field can be identified. So we can associate differential forms. So in the background of E, we can associate which AQ, IJ, I1 up to IQ differential form. So this will give me components living in the forms with values in the endomorphisms of the bundle E. So Witten gave us an answer. So we have the Hilbert space H would be just a sum of all forms with values in M E. The grading is given by Q. Q is Gauss number, and we also have DRS operator. Witten showed this with this localizes to D bar. And the star product localizes to the usual multiplication of forms. And moreover, the trace would be just an integral over x of trace in E with multiplied by omega. So that means that the string field theory action in this case is holomorphic Chern-Simons theory. So that's the action. So S is well, it's in Witten's paper. It's just a computation of a 3-point function on the disk, which localizes on the. No, but that's something that it appears because you, that's standard in the B model. So it appears because you can show that this action is a. No, well, you see, the normalization of this is like the string coupling constant. It appears because there is a unique answer up to a normalization of omega, which is this like a choice of a string coupling constant. Yeah, and then I did a choice of omega to get a number, and that's gonna. Well, it's like choosing a coupling constant here. This is missing here, but it's implicit in the choice of the normalization of omega. Okay, so that's the story that Witten told us, and it's clear that if we study the equations of motion of this action, we find deformations of the complex structure of the bundle E. We should also be said that this action has a gauge symmetry, which A1 goes to A1 plus the epsilon plus commutator A1 with epsilon. Okay, so now that's the story. So the bundle E that that we couple to the B model is like a choice of a D-brain. And now what I'm trying to do is to actually, to do what I said in the beginning, actually to study collections, the B model, in the presence of a collection of bundles, and to understand what the new D brains are. So now. These are, you know why. Yeah, I didn't say in the beginning, I should have said the action is written, the classical action is written for a Gauss number one field. If you want to quantize this action, you have to add Gauss. And then, I'm not sure if it happens in this model, but usually what happens is that, like, when you quantize the action, you're going to allow arbitrary Gauss numbers, and then you're going to do some BV quantization of the action. I'm not sure that works in this model, but I know that it happens usually. Don't know the answer to that. It's very specific to dimension 3, I know.
Yeah, it looks like it is.
Yeah, you're right. Yes, I don't know the answer. I thought a little bit about it, but I couldn't. I don't know what the string filter is. There has to be RF44 or something like that. Yeah, sure. But I don't know. It seems that everything works. Okay, so that's the story here. So before I go, I'll go on to collections of deep brains. I'll have to introduce the Z grading. And this was described by Paul. So actually, first of all, it was introduced by Douglas, and then described by Paul in his lectures, who showed that he had a proposal to add the Z grading of deep brains. And I'm not sure I have a better argument than Paul had. So if you want, at this stage, I'm just going to postulate that the deep brains will be it's a holomorphic bundle with an integer number, which is the grading. And the way it works is that if we look at open strings stretching between, so if we look at the states of the open strings that stretch between two such deep brains, let's say P here, then there will be a contribution to the Gauss number equal to the difference between N and P. So if you want, you can take this as a, well, you can't, well, so it seems that at this point we're adding some extra data to this theory that is not there in the topological field theory. And Paul argued that, well, we need this extra data in order to make sense of physical deep brains and to follow the action of the monodromic group in the complex in the Keller moduli space, which is something you can't see in the topological model. But at any rate, we'll have to enhance, well, to refine our description of deep brains by adding this Z grading. And what I want to do is to study the same theory in the presence of a number of such objects. And if you take some collection of objects, you can, of course, allow the grading N to repeat, to have repetitions, but I don't think you gain much by doing that. So I'm going to restrict myself to collections of deep brains of the form EN. So it will be like a Z-graded bundle. But you see, there is a slight abuse of language here, because all these bundles EN can be different. So it's not like, this is not like the pair EN. So it's like I'm restricting myself to certain collections. I can, of course, allow N to. So if we look at collections EN with some index I, I can allow N to have repetitions, but then we can add all these bundles which live on the same degree and which have the same degree, and we can get collections like that. So so these are the deep brains I want to look at. So now what we can do is that we can repeat this analysis, but the only novelty is this grading. That's basically the extra data that we have. So what's going to be H? H is a sum over all possible open string states between all the deep brains in our collection. So we just a sum over all of them. And the Gauss number would be Q plus n minus m. So that's really the very important aspect. I mean, this is really very important for the derivation of the derived category, is that this is like a boundary contribution to the Gauss number. So the grading, this grading on the of the boundary states has a physical effect in grading, in this contribution to the Gauss number. And so now we want to describe these objects. Derivation, so first of all, the algebra structure. In order to describe star will be like, so the most convenient way to describe the algebraic structure is to actually think of it as, so we can define a super, we define a super vector bundle, just by adding even and odd and odd degrees. So we treat this as a super vector bundle with some extra Z grading, which can and then we can define the algebraic structure just as a product, a tensor product of super algebras. So this is a tensor product of super algebras. So that describes the right algebraic structure in this case. And then this field psi would be an element of H. Which for the classical action would be of degree 1. So the Gauss number has to be 1. So since the Gauss number is 1, it's interesting to see how what are the components. So we have to keep only components of degree 1. So that means that if we have our bundles, if you look at, we have the components of, we have some components A naught. So keeping in mind the formula for the Gauss number there, we see that we have components of a form degree 0, which are 0 forms. But we also have, of course, components which are 1 forms. We have components which are 2 forms, but they go 1 unit back. And then we have components which are 3 forms. So these are the type, this is the type of object that we have to deal with. And then, the action is, the generalization of the action is very simple. S of psi would be just an integral. And then we use a super trace, and we use the algebra structure there. And of course, now what we can do, it's very easy to write down the equations. It's very easy to write down the equations of motion. So we can write down the equations of motion in terms of these components, A naught, A1, and so on. And if we do that, we get it's probably important to write this down, because it's going to teach us what this category is. So I'm going to write the first two of them, and then next one. Sorry? I should have. Okay, so it's D naught. This is A0, N plus 1. A0, N plus 1, A1, N. is a 1, that's a 0. This is n plus 1, n. And n, well, in fact, well, I'm just writing it this way just in order to. And we have something similar for A2, which I'm not going to make explicit. Now, so now we see that if we start with some collection of bundles as I considered there, just by condensing open string fields, we get, well, in the topological model, we get new D-brains, which are described by some objects like this. And the equations, well, and they have to satisfy this equation. And then one can construct, in fact, a category of these objects by, well, if you want, I will just follow the general prescription. So if I, so now we can construct a category. I mean, at this point, it's perhaps useful to notice that this construction is quite similar to, I mean, it's very similar to a construction of Bondal and Kapranov, which is a construction of so-called pre-triangulated categories. If I have some time, maybe I'm going to discuss this, how the two compare to each other. The main difference is that in their case, so in our case, these equations of motion, the components are multiplied according to the superalgebra rule. Well, in their case, the multiplications there would be just a multiplication of ordinary forms. But except for that, this construction is very similar to their construction. And now let me, so suppose I have two objects. Sorry?
So when I multiply the two, for example, the first equation.
Oh, I got it.
Well, the second term is a map from En to En. It's a one form, but it's.
Yeah, so.
And the last one is about the n plus 1, maybe factors.
Yes.
So are they separately zeros? Since they're mapping
between different. Is that it wrong? I mean, this one? Oh, this is not what was supposed to happen. Unless I got the degree wrong. So the way my conventions are, so I have A1, then A0, and N plus 1. So that would. Yeah, so that wasn't. No, they won't redistribute it anything. So anyway, so these are the equations that you get. So anyway, just to finish the construction of this category, we start with two objects like this. And both of them are finite collections of bundles. And we can construct, so let me call them C and C prime. So I'm going to construct the morphisms between C and C prime. Well, okay, so here, going to be just a sum over all possible open string states between and the grade. So this has to be a I'm going to construct a DG category, so this will have a grading. So the grade. The grading of this complex will be, say, let's say, k, given by q plus n minus m. So you can show that this describes a DG category. So that's the category. I mean, so it may, perhaps now it's a good time to think a little bit what we've been doing. So now this is really the natural category that one gets from the physical problem. which you see contains, well, contains first of all kind of rather, well, peculiar objects. I mean, we don't just get complexes, we get these twisted complexes if we allow ourselves to use the terminology of Bondal and Kapranov. And, well, so there are many more than complexes. And then another aspect is that the deformations, I mean, if you think of this as marginal deformations of the topological, of the boundary topological field theory, you can see that in general, these equations describe, roughly speaking, deformations of a superconnection, so if you want to call a holomorphic superconnection, but not, but you know, for a given, for certain objects, the individual deformations they want, for example, will not be holomorphic, you know, separately. So we get more objects, and what's strange, I mean, well, I'm not sure how strange it is, but apparently we are driven out of the algebraic category. I mean, we are working with non-algebraic objects, and not even holomorphic objects. They seem to be holomorphic in a generalized sense, but not, you know. So that's, it's clear that we get new objects. Now, what's the relation of this with the derived category? Well, if we take cohomology on the morphisms, we construct we can take cohomology on the complex of morphisms and construct a new category, which is roughly speaking like taking the on-shell open string state between any two D-brains, and one can show. So let me call this category somehow curly C. Now I'm going to call H not of curly C. The category obtained by taking the zero cohomology on the morphisms, and one can show that if Q is a full subcategory of C generated by complexes. So in other words, if I restrict myself to just to those objects which are complexes, which are certainly there, and just ignoring, for example, the other objects, then H naught of Q, that's a really simple exercise, is identical to T naught of X as defined by Paul, it's a model for the derived category. It's in turn equivalent, as Paul showed us, to the derived category of coherent sheaves of X. But as you can see, there are more objects in this category C, or in H naught of C, and I don't quite understand very well what they mean. I mean, it's quite possible that, I mean, you see, it's quite possible that, at the end of the day, this category is equivalent, in fact, somehow to the derived category. But I don't know exactly how to construct such an equivalence, or I don't know if this is right. And of course, there is another question. I mean, even if they are equivalent as categories, the question is, are we sure that equivalence of categories is equivalence of physical theories? And that's another question that I think should be addressed. I mean, I'm not sure that anything I said here, it's not clear that an equivalence of categories is the same as an equivalence of physical theories, and I don't know. But anyway, so that's what I wanted to say, that this is a sort of the category that's naturally constructing of physics, out of physics. I think I'll stop here. In the A model?
Yeah.
We could. I mean, I should say, yeah. For the A model, this has been, well, yeah. So this has been discussed by Lazaroy in some cases. You can do that, but in that case, you have to ignore the instanton corrections. Otherwise, it's not clear what you can do, you know. I mean, otherwise, then its formula is identical to this. If you ignore the instanton corrections, then you have ordinary chain Simons theories, then you can play this game. for flat connections and so on. But we're going to have super flat connections and so on. But in that case, if we, No.
So, just asking you to repeat, I missed the point. So,
yeah,
if we started with the Z grading, then we would have had complexes. If we asked for super connections, so 0, 1 super connections adapted, that's exactly these complexes. But then you dropped that and just remembered the Z mod 2 grading. And what was the motivation? That's why we got all these other errors. And what was the motivation for that?
No, so the idea is that, you know, you have all. So, this H is the sum of all possible degree. You sum of everything, you know. Here we sum of all. So these are all the open string states. Some of them, well, then the Gauss number is given by this. So that's Gauss number, and then you have in whatever in the classical, so the physical field in the classical action has to have Gauss number 1. So that means that you have more than just one just zero forms from n to n plus 1. You have all these other excitations there, and in fact I found that these objects have been considered in a different context by, I think, Bismuth and Lott, many other people. Yeah. But for some reason, they have the Z grading and the Z2 grading. Anyway. So that's, I don't know. So that's the construction of this would be the physical category that you can construct. The category which is equivalent would be this H naught.
Just H.
Yeah, just H naught. Yeah. So I don't know if it's. I don't know if they are equivalent, but anyway, that's the story that's going on here. Oh, that's a good question, and I don't know how. I thought a little bit. you mean you want to couple? Yeah, to write a coupling with these things. Yeah, it would be an interesting thing to do, but I don't know how to do it. Especially if you want to do to construct a coupling which has topological symmetry, which is topological. That's something. I didn't know how to construct such a coupling. Maybe we shouldn't expect that. I don't know, but yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, actually, that's a good comment because super connections have appeared in boundary string field theory. You're right. So, but yeah, this is a different story.
Finite number or discrete number?
No, but you see, the finite, what I was saying about finite is that I can only, write these equations for a finite number at a time. But you see what here, I'm allowed to consider all the vector bundles on all the holomorphic bundles on X. I mean, but I take only collections. These twisted complexes have finitely many terms. That's all I'm saying. But this construction, you take all the bundles on X, all the vector, the holomorphic bundles on X, and you construct these twisted complexes. So this category is big, but I just want to restrict myself to it's like constructing the bounded derived category. I don't want to allow infinite, maybe we should allow those, but at least I wanted to have something under control, because maybe we should allow actually infinitely many, like an unbounded derived category, but I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. And of course, this doesn't, there are many other issues that we can address. I mean, what happened to deep range gapping submanifolds. So as Paul said, one can, they are probably recovered by getting resolutions of coherent shapes. I mean, by the fact that this will contain resolutions of coherent shapes. But perhaps we need a more careful analysis of that case. I don't know. And then, in principle, having this, well, that action, we should be able to quantize it. Yeah, and that's probably a more interesting question. How, if the quantum corrections define some interesting algebraic structure. I see. Okay. Yeah, so, I impose this prescription. it's probably not a natural one. It should be removed, yeah.
I'm vague on this, but in Paul's talk, it seemed that the way he was justifying where the integers came from, that was the pi 1 of the circle, and he was unwrapping the B field or something like that.
I didn't try to change that story, so I just relied on his arguments. I don't have a different argument for that story.
So if you have two brains, a string connecting them would involve just an integer difference. If you look at higher structures, then would you expect somehow the indexing could be by the real, not by the integer.
No,
so. In
the
triple, someone
would have to be an integer. Okay, so. Triple? No. The question, the way you get real is if you sort of untwist the theory. But as long as you're in topological model, I don't know if I can get a real grading in a topological model. It might be that I don't understand your question.
Another question.